Hi ho, Tudor-minded people. It's Philadelphia Carrie for Tudor Time Machine. The word I share with you this week is doth. Tudor files. Doth is a most important word, for one cannot say, the great RB, doth he love me? Unless one uses the word doth. Of course he doth. In last night's performance, RB played Romeo, and he confided to me that when he said in the balcony scene, "Oh, she doth teach the torches to burn bright," he thought of me, moi. I am so fiery. I burn. I am a light in the night. Ladies, I must inquire, have you ever had a paramour who is an actor? He does not bumble and mumble, but speaks in dulcet tones. He uses the words of the greatest writers. Why, but the other morning, R.B. clutched my hand to his breast and spoke Marlowe's words to me. "Oh, thou art fairer than the evening air, clad in the beauty of a thousand stars." Imagine this. I opened my eyes, and those were the first words to come to my ears. Oh, my! I shall tell you true. R.B. does not waste his time with ambages. He speaks the words of love with the finest of all quotations. I cannot tell you. It is as if I am being wooed by the greatest lovers of every play. As you must know, from time to time, a merchant has not the means to repair this or that at the theatre, and R.B. has asked me to aid him. How I thrill to help mend whatever is amiss at the theatre. And R.B. has many friends. We often go to Lord Burleigh's house, and there we meet my brother, and the Lord himself, and even Mildred Cecil. She is so learned, and she taught us all about the garden. It is filled with all sorts of plants, and one plant is from another country, and it is called a potato. When R.B. learned of this wonderful plant's name, he turned to me and said, "When I look to your beauty, what sort of potato am I?" And I knew it was spectator, for a potato is also a tater. We not a perfect pair. Tudorphiles, Tudorphiles, oh, we are.
Doth. How now, Tudorphiles, what think you? If you're new here, I'm Gage.
I'm Jessica.
And we're here with Philadelphia Carrie for Tudor Word of the Week.
Don't miss a word and listen to the Tudor Time Machine Story Project. So diverting. And I pray bid you tell a ningle and ring the little YouTube bell. It doth go la 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 la.
Tudorphiles, thank you for listening. Every one of you has the wit of Rosalind and the heart of Cordelia.
And don't be shy about writing to Philadelphia on YouTube or suggesting words. We love hearing from you.
How do you spell our Tudor word of the week, Philadelphia?
Oh, it is so simple. It is spelled D-O-T-H. Dost thou not know this? But I have heard this word used in your time to mock our beautiful Elizabethan English. Some 21st century person might say, "I doth want a PB&J sandwich," to make a fancy sound, and that insults the fine actors of the Elizabethan age who speak correctly.
Oh, settle down. It's just for fun. No one's trying to insult anyone.
"I doth want a PB&J sandwich" is not how the word should be used. Philadelphia, I'll try to use it correctly. So it would be, "She doth desire a PB&J sandwich," because it's the third person form of do.
Yes, that's right. So we could say, "RB doth adore you."
Indeed, you are right. But I do not want a PB&J sandwich. But your French fries, I should have. Oh, potatoes are a marvelous thing.
Actually, it's hard to imagine not having potatoes.
They were new to Europe and England during Elizabeth's reign. It seems like potatoes have always been part of the English, UK, Irish diet, but they were not. So potatoes came on ships returning from the Americas to Spain around 1570, and the British Isles between 1588 and 1593. So they weren't really a big food item at this time.
Explorers are going all over the world, and they would bring back plants from everywhere. And whether that was a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know, but that is what happened. And all the influential people in Europe, in England, everywhere, they were very interested in these new plants.
Oh, science, science. It is all very fascinating. But is it not finer to walk in the garden with a man you adore, or a woman or a dog, and admire the leaf or the petal? Must we wrinkle our brows? I think not. We must enjoy the beauty. That is our role.
I love a walk in the garden, but a garden doesn't just appear by chance. Philadelphia, people have to research. People plan. They think about growing times, how things will interact with each other, all sorts of things. A well-tended garden is a lot of work.
So John Gerard, who was a barber surgeon, but who had always had a particular interest in plants, actually oversaw William Cecil's garden. And he also wrote a book classifying the plants based on leaf structure.
Yes, and the book was called The Herbal, or, and this is a very practical name, General History of Plants. And it was published.
That's a big subject right
yes.
there.
It was published in 1597, but John Gerard was not the pinnacle of exactitude.
No, there are 1,800 woodcuts in the Herbal. That's a lot. But they're all taken from earlier books. And Gerard didn't actually know which plants many of the woodcuts were actually illustrating. So even in the time period, one competing naturalist said he corrected 1,000 errors in Jean Gerard's work in these plant identifications. It was not exactly perfect.
And when a new edition of the book Herbal came out in 1633, there were so many corrections. And the editor said of John Gerard, his chief commendation is that he, out of propense goodwill to the public advancement of knowledge, endeavored to perform therein more than he could well accomplish, which was partly through want of sufficient learning.
I mean, that's damning. But if you don't know enough, it's hard to be accurate. Although yeah. 1,000 errors doth seem a bit excessive.
Science is a challenging discipline, Philadelphia. Everything doesn't just happen.
Can you understand the beauty of love or Arby's voice with science? Science is lacking.
All right. You know, our very inaccurate John Gerard loved science, but he also cared about the beauty of plants. What did he say about the English violet, Philadelphia?
He wrote, "Gardens themselves receive by these the greatest ornament of all, chiefest beauty and most excellent grace, and the recreation of the mind which is taken hereby cannot be but very good and honest, for they admonish and stir up a man to that which is comely and honest, for flowers through their beauty, variety of colour, add exquisite form, do bring a liberal and gentle manly mind, the remembrance of honesty, comeliness, and all kinds of virtues. For it would be an unseemly and filthy thing, as a certain wise man saith, for him that doth look upon and handle fair and beautiful things, to have his mind not fair, but filthy and deformed." His words are sodden-witted. He lacks a velvet tongue. Velvet tongue, I am a wit.
I don't know. It's not that good.
Tis, you are wrong. But I must to the theatre. Arby shall rule as Henry V. My heart goes pitter-patter at the thought.
All right, enjoy it, Philadelphia.
I'm jealous. I'd love to see Richard Burbage playing Henry V. Wow.
I know, me too, actually.
You have more than a play to be jealous of. The man Arby doth attend to me like no other. So give heed, Tudorphiles. Add some 16th century sauce to your vocabulary with up. Listen in next time. Don't miss a word. Subscribe on YouTube and give me a like.